This is not a service. This is just something I want to throw out there. I would like for y'all next year, this up starting tomorrow, I want you to steal more than you stole last year. I want you to cheat more than you did last year. And I want you to lie more than you did last year. Remember those things. Steal, cheat, and lie. I want you to steal away some time to spend with Jesus in prayer. I want you to cheat the devil of every soul that you can witness to and get him saved. And I want you to lie back and trust in the promises of God. So when they say, what was service about? If you forget everything else, say, our minister told us to lie, cheat, and steal next year. And they'll go, say, what? I'm going to that church. So there should be an upticking in attendance. But actually, we're going to... I don't know if that thing's running or not. It's running now. In the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 14 through 24, this is something I ran across a while back, and I'd just like to read these 14 through 24 to you. It's something we all know about. It's the transfiguration has just happened. Jesus went up on the mount. He was changed. His robe started glowing, and he just shone about, and Moses and Elijah showed up and talked to him, and the disciples, Peter, James, and John was up there. And then he comes down off the mountain, and this is what he runs into. Remember, Moses came down off the mountain and ran into a problem, and Jesus comes down off the mountain and he runs into a problem. And it's something we've read about. When they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, that's Jesus, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, what are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth, and he grinds his teeth, and he stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do it. And he answered to them and said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. They brought him the boy. When he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into convulsions, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he, Jesus, asked the Father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It often throws him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you could do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. Now this is something that we've all heard, I'm sure if you've attended churches very long, about this incident that happened. And one of the major things that we always focus on is the idea of, how do I say it, that Jesus has the power over darkness. And that's absolutely true. That's probably the thing that we focus on because it's so amazing and we don't run into it very often, or most people don't run into that kind of situation. But if you actually pay attention to what's really going on and try to see it from Jesus' standpoint, when he said, what do you mean? Now, the King James says it this way, if thou canst believe. If you have a basic English Bible translation, it says, if you are able to believe. And if you have a American Standard, it says, if thou canst believe. Or one of them says, what do you mean if I can? And that's a thought-for-thought translation. What's going on here is the Greek, when you read the original Greek and the old Greek manuscripts, there is no punctuation. So the idea is always there, but it doesn't come across. One way of reading it is, and Jesus said to him, and this is the New American Standard, if you can, meaning, sir, you're questioning my ability? Haven't you heard about all the things that I've been doing around the Sea of Galilee? What do you mean, if you can? And in King James it says, if thou canst. Without the punctuation, we don't know whether Jesus was expressing this idea of, are you questioning my abilities? He could also be saying in alarm, you mean I've been here so long? Remember, he said, how long must I be with you? Or is he saying, surprise, what? You don't think that I have the ability? Or it could be incredulity. You really don't think I can do it? But what he did, Jesus has always shown that he has the power over darkness, and that comes through. But the primary idea that's coming through, and he throws it right back at the Father. He says, however you take the beginning, it's if you've got the faith, your boy can be healed. It's not whether I am able or whether I'm capable or whether I have the power to do it. It's do you believe? Do you think it can be done? Do you realize that there's a universal truth that's pointed out here? And that is this. If you don't believe something, it's impossible. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. If you don't believe it can be done, it's impossible. When I was growing up, they always said, no one will ever break the 4-minute mile. It can't be done. It can't be done. Finally, somebody said, yeah, it can. And they practiced and they practiced and they practiced and they did. And after it fell, it was just like a lot of people started breaking the 4-minute mile because the barrier had been broken and had been crossed. Then they saw that it was a possibility. But as long as people are convinced that something is impossible, it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, it remains impossible. It was impossible to go to the moon. I remember that growing up. Nobody will ever get there. It's impossible. I heard that a lot. And then JFK came along and he said, within the next decade, let's get there. And people started pushing in order to get to the moon and to have America to be the first people to go up there and plant their flag on the moon and say, look what we have done. I mean, it's a matter of pride, but they purposed to do it. And the boy, he purposed to get his son well. It was his idea and his purpose, and he pushed along and he got the boy to the disciples, and Jesus was up on top of that mountain transfiguring, which you can read about earlier, and he had to deal with the disciples that was there. He had a purpose, and if we have purpose, there's a lot of stuff that we can do. Even unbelievers can accomplish a lot. Let me read to you out of the book of Genesis right now, Genesis chapter 11. 1-6, nothing new. And now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. And it came about as they were journeying east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And let us use brick for stone. And they used tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into the heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise will we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. These people purposed in their hearts to build this city, to build this tower, and not to be spread across the face of the earth because God said, go forth, multiply, go across the earth, inhabit the earth, be fruitful, multiply. And they said, we're not going to do it. We purpose in our hearts to stay right here, to build a city, to make ourselves a name, and we're going to build a tower. And they were unbelievers. But sheer purpose, sheer willpower gave them the energy and the drive and the push to do this. They made bricks. They burnt those bricks. They had to carry all those individual bricks, stack them. Then they had to go get what we would call asphalt. They had to haul all this asphalt in, cover those bricks like mortar, cover the outside, and they had to build this tower in this entire city. And it had to be a great tower, and they had to have a great wide base on it. So we're talking thousands and thousands of bricks, thousands of pounds of asphalt. We're talking an effort that's just monumental. And they had to carry it in and carry it in. And they did this and they continued to struggle until they got way up there. And God come down and He said, look, people out of sheer willpower can accomplish things that are truly amazing. They built this ziggurat. They're going against me and they have purposed in their heart to do this. And nothing is impossible then. It's just saying that we are created in the image of God and we can accomplish a lot just on sheer willpower. But we, as faithing Christians, we can go beyond sheer willpower. We can get right to the miraculous if we can get to Christ. Now the Father, He wanted to come to Christ. He purposed in His heart to get that boy to Christ. And He wanted Jesus to heal him. So He did have some faith because He had heard these stories. And He got the boy there. And the disciples were the ones that weren't able to accomplish it. Even though earlier He had given them the power over darkness. And they had went out and witnessed and went to the different cities in the area. And had accomplished great things. But they couldn't do it. And it was discouraging. And by the time Jesus came down off the mountain, the Father finally gets to Christ. He says, if you can. And Jesus says, what do you mean, if I can? I have the ability. Can you believe it? Sometimes we got to push past Christians and we have to push past the church because we can't accomplish the things that Christ can. And we as individuals have to get into the very presence of Christ. We have to push and push and push till we get to Jesus Himself and say, I need a miracle. I need something miraculous to happen in my life. I need you to help me because I need to go beyond just sheer willpower to get this accomplished. It's something that only a God, the God the Father, you can accomplish. Only you can accomplish this kind of stuff. And I'm coming straight to you. I've had Christians as individuals to pray. I've had churches to pray. And yet, it's you that I need to get to, Jesus. And we need to get straight to Jesus in order to have that miraculous encounter that we need with Him. Now, we've got a lot of stuff here that we've talked about. Here's a question I'd like to ask. Have you got purpose in your life? Or do you just want something? You've got to have at least enough purpose to get you where you want to go. Purpose in life keeps you at it. Keeps you pushing forward, trying to get where you need to go. These guys purpose in their life to build a tower. The Father purposed in His life to get His Son to Jesus. Or do you just want something? A lot of times, I want something, but I'm not willing to stick with it long enough in order to achieve it. I want to play a keyboard. Piano. I'm not going to buy a piano. I know it. I'm not going to pay somebody $50 a week to teach me how to do it. I'm not going to put in a half hour a day. I'm not even going to put in 10 minutes a day to learn. I want to. I'd like to. But the only way I'm going to do that is if there's a miracle. Because I don't have enough drive, enough purpose, enough sheer willpower to get it done. And I've got proof. I've got harmonica. I've got clarinet. I've got bagpipe. I had a banjo, a guitar, auto harp. I have a glockenspiel. I've got things that I've even forgot I've got because I said, yeah, I want to learn to play that. I got a dulcimer. I just want. I don't purpose. When we purpose, will actually accomplish. But when we purpose to get into the presence of Jesus Christ, it takes our life from just sheer power, just sheer willpower, and accomplishing something on our own, which can take a lot of time. And if we can get to Jesus and make that contact with Him and say, "Yes, I do trust You," then we move into the realm of the miraculous, awesomeness of God. Jesus has great abilities and He is willing, but He's always saying to us, "Do you really believe it? Do you really believe it? Because if you don't believe it, it's going to be impossible to you." Tomorrow begins our future history. The Hebrew people believe that the week before their New Year's begins, which was in the fall, the week before that, you have to pray and fast, which there's nothing wrong with praying and fasting. And they confess their sins and they try to get everything right with God because they believe that God decides at that moment to write down your history for the upcoming year, whether you're going to be blessed or not blessed, whether you're going to live or whether you're not going to live. They believe that you have to get this all squared away and convince God to be on your side. We don't believe that. We believe that God is on our side. We don't have to struggle and try to hoodwink Him somehow into giving us those blessings. He's saying there is a future for us. 2018, it is a blank, fill-in-the-blank future, and it's going to be a history. And all that's required is unbelief is going to settle it for you, and you're going to have a failure of a year. You can go at it with just sheer willpower, and you will be able to accomplish things, and you'll be able to make things that, do things, accomplish things that will cause people to say, "Wow, that was good for you." But you'll find that doing things by sheer willpower, and there's nothing wrong with pushing to do this, but it can be time consuming, and it can be exhausting, and it can be very hard work. But we get into that place as Christians, we can go one step farther than the unbelievers can. If we can get into the presence of God, and we can get into the presence of the Lord Jesus, we can get past the discouragement and the problems that we have, or even the discouragement of people and friends who say, "Oh, well, it's just not going to happen. Just give it up and accept your plight in life." Job had his friends, you know, that was saying, "Just give it up, Job." His wife was saying, "Just curse God and die, Job." But he kept pushing and saying, "No, I'm going to trust in God." David said, "Yea, though He slay me, yet I will trust in God." When we get to that point that we push ourselves into the very presence of Jesus Christ, then we have great potential for the year 2018. God sees us in our future. God is able to see every variation of the future that could play out for us. He can see there is a path of great potential for us, but like that father, He would flip it back to us and says, "But can you believe that 18 is going to be a good year for you? Can you believe that 18 is going to be a phenomenal year for you? Can you believe that? If you can believe it, it will be a miraculous year." So I'm going to ask you that very same question. Glenwood, as individuals and as a church, do you believe that 2018 will be a miraculous year, blessed of Christ? You believe it's just, it ain't going to happen? Or are you just going to get out there and struggle and say, "I'm just going to struggle through this year"? Next year has great potential, and all that limits it is, do we believe it or not? Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, help us in our unbelief. We ask that You would cure that unbelief in us. We have enough belief right now to come to You and say, "Bless our upcoming year. And where we're weak in faith, give us an increase in faith so we can stand there and next year on this day say, 2018 was an awesome year thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ and what He did in our lives. All glory, all praise, and all honor to You. I ask that this upcoming year will be fantastic for Glenwood as individuals and for Glenwood as a church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.